taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, balancing form and essence with Reiki master and host Phyllis Lei Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto, Reiki, balancing form and essence. And today I'm talking to you live from Sydney, Australia. And I'm so happy that I ended up calling at the right time. I'm looking out my window and seeing the Sydney Bridge, which is fantastic in the early morning light. And today I'm on the show because we're doing a transition show. We're just finishing up this series on Mystic Order. And I wanted to just come on and kind of summarize for myself and for you what I've connected with in all these interviews and where I'm going next, and perhaps you'll be able to take your own steps of exploring what Mystic Order might mean for you. As I've said earlier in the shows, in 1993, I wrote an article about the system, and one of the things that I wanted to do was to begin to articulate the system, or to put words to it, the same system and form that Hawaii Otakata taught her students. And this came through from many conversations and explorations that I had done with students and masters from all over the world at that point about what they felt the system was. And what came out were these four aspects: healing practice, personal development, spiritual discipline, and mystic order. And for me, it seems that no matter what the form is that you're practicing, that these four elements, or I would say aspects of Reiki practice, seem to come forward just as a natural process of practicing the system or any system of Reiki. So in this exploration in the last 3 months of Mystic Order, we started out with a wonderful conversation with John Cass and Kristen Bonney about their idea and their experience of mystic experiences and of Mystic Order themselves. And it was an ad lib exploration. It was a wonderful one because I didn't want to have somebody who really had thought about it in great depth, in the sense of wanting to catch people and have something very spontaneous. And then we had two shows with Yo-Yon Yonker, which I really loved, because in his studying it and it being in this kind of studious atmosphere, I got to see that there were many different experiences that we have as human beings that could be called mystic. And throughout the rest of the shows, I feel like we have explored each one of these. There's the idea that mystic experiences need to come through a religious experience or through a religious practice. And this, for me, was an interesting question, because I think that for the most part, all of the people that I've interviewed and actually spoken with over the last years have realized that religion isn't necessary, but it certainly leads people to mystical experiences, and that mystical experiences are not necessarily psychological ones coming from hallucinations or what did Sadhu say, from a loss of reality, but they come through reality into another reality, and I find that to be really interesting. So in our in my own reaction to the interviews, I've really been thrilled to go deeper into my own thoughts about what this practice gives to me. And then about I don't know, halfway into the interviews, I kept thinking, this all seems kind of vague, maybe, in our languaging. And what I realized is that, of course, by its very nature, a mystic experience in some way has no words to describe it. It's an indescribable, nonverbal experience, something that, because of the nature of being one, you don't do it. So in this difference of being and doing, I felt that it was obvious that our language, and I think that's human language, really cannot begin to access the depth of our feeling or describe it, which is very good, I found. I found that we could connect to our own understanding of what mystic or mystic order meant, but that in that understanding there was also our own individual experience, which was very difficult to convey in language. I loved Marta's stories because they gave me a scenario, some place to go, but I'm sure that no one can relate to the experiences that she had in Australia unless you yourself have had the same experience. And then it's one of these things where, well, we don't really know if we've had the same experience. And that in itself is a wonderful opportunity to just celebrate our individuality. So my question was, a mystic order, fantasy or quality of being? And it's obvious to me that this is not a fantasy, that we can dismiss it as fantasy because we're not willing to acknowledge it in our as a reality in our everyday world. However, this practice, Reiki, feels that it gives us the opportunity to have mystic experiences in our everyday world, in moments when we're in a crowd and feel that something has shifted in our reality, or when we're alone and things just seem to come together and our reality shifts, or we have inexplicable experiences, or we know that we are one. And this quality of being permeates our lives until, as our Reiki practice continues, until it becomes almost ordinary. And that, for me, is one of the most profound experiences, because it shows to me that as human beings we have the capacity to touch our essential nature every day in every moment. And I feel that in this practice, one of the things that happened to me was in the early days, in the early 1980s, I was always a little offended by people coming to me and saying, "We are all one. We are, I am you and you are me. We're just in different forms. And I can be you and you can be me and we can be mirrors. And there are all these different experiences of being human." And I don't know why I was offended, but I thought that this was something that was truly a kind of fantasy. Now I know, in my experiences of Reiki, that it's totally not fantasy, that it's something that I've experienced in many different, on many different levels. And I like the many different levels. There's the level of physicalness, where you put your hands on yourself or on someone else, and all of a sudden you realize that the separation between the body that you're touching and your hands has gone. There's the other experience which many Reiki students have had, where they put their hands on the person and all of the separation psychologically goes away. There's no, well, I don't like this person, I find this person to be a little strange, I don't know if I would ever be friends with this person. And then by the end of the hour, you realize that you love this person in a way that is unconditional. And this transformation for me is also a mystic experience, an experience of oneness on a physical level. And then we have this other interesting experience of being initiated and having this experience of coming home, of being one within ourselves, but also in that moment of being one with ourselves, energetically, it feels that we are one with everything. And in that flash, that moment of oneness, we come to understand that that could be a natural way of being. And so in order to achieve or connect with that experience again, we have the practice. And the practice continues to give us the important processes of being able to recreate this experience of initiation. It's a great reason to keep practicing. We'll be back after the break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki in relation to religion, other disciplines, the government, mainstream medicine, you'll find the information in articles that appear bi-monthly in Reiki Magazine International.
Sharings, experiences, and questions from all over the world.
Taking out a subscription is easy. Go to ReikiMagazine.com and click on subscribe. Find your agent in the country where you live and pay online or by check. Online payments can be safely made on a secured page.
ReikiMagazine.com.
Are you ready to crash through illusion, break through your personal barriers, and slay the internal nemesis of your dark side? TNT is here to awaken your soul and unravel the hidden messages of your unconscious mind. Discover your hidden treasure map and use TNT to find the tools you need to become your own demolition tech.
Collapse the old and choose the new.
It's Dynamite Awareness with TNT. Tracy Irons and Tracy McMahon every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the 7th Wave Network, and visit us at www.dynamiteawareness.com.
Reiki treatments can be done almost anywhere, on the floor, on a bed, or even on the dining room table. But I certainly prefer giving and receiving treatments on my comfortable, lightweight Astrolite massage table. Contact us for more information at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. So, I'm in Australia doing a little bit more than a couple months tour here, and you'll notice that there are going to be many shows coming from Australian Masters, which is great because it allows me to give you a piece of the Reiki community that is very difficult to come to otherwise because of our time difference. So I'm very excited about this particular next theme that I have going on, which is the Stories of Masters, I call it. And it started out to be a series of interviews that would have addressed what is mastery. And then the first interview that I did on this series was with John Gray, who's 91, and his wife, Lourdes, who live in the very south part of New Hampshire. And as I went through the interview and then listened to it a couple of times, I realized that one of the things that I really wanted to do was to be able to give to you, the listeners, and to the Reiki community a sense of the 22 masters, as many as I can connect with, and of the early Reiki masters of this community who really had something to give to the community, and especially those people like Helen Haverly, who wrote the book of Hawaii Otakata and shared her stories and teachings of her own master, Hawaii Otakata, and then be able also to access the very living and breathing teachings of masters who travel around the world and or in their own hometown and have experiences that are life-changing. And I felt like these would be great inspiration for all of us. So I wanted to answer a kind of unspoken question that I feel might come up during this series, and that is this question of, well, are masters better than first and second degree students, and what is the understanding of having these different levels of teaching in the system? For me, the most important, one of the most important teachings of Hawaii Otakata was that she said, first degree is all you need. And in the early days when I was teaching, I would always say this to my students, first degree is all you need. And then they would kind of ask, well, if first degree is all we need, then why do you teach second degree? And I guess that would echo my own question that I had in myself, like, well, why would I offer second degree? And what is that all about? And it was not till years later that I figured out my own context and my own understanding for this question. I understood that instead of a hierarchy of first degree, second degree, and master being better, best, it was more that being a Reiki student was a continuum. So you started somewhere, which was first degree, and that was all you needed. First degree gives you everything in your life. It gives you a connection to Reiki, universal life energy. And in working with this energy in your life consciously, because of course we all have Reiki, the practice of Reiki simply gives us a form in which to consciously connect with it. We end up giving ourselves the possibility of becoming conscious of our everyday decisions and to imbue these decisions with an understanding of who we are. The more we get to know one another and the more we get to know ourselves, then the more conscious our decisions can become. So that is really all we need, is this connection. And everything happens through that. That's why the four aspects of healing practice, personal development, spiritual discipline, and mystic order are so interesting, because you could see them as a progressive, or you could also see them as a kind of photograph where all four of them are present in every moment of our lives, and it really depends on what is in the foreground of the photograph at any given moment, what we are aware of consciously. So when I figured that out, that this saying or teaching of hers, that first degree was all we needed, was true, then I understood that as students and myself included went deeper into the practice and became prepared for the next step of our studentship, that we were offered another physical way of exploring ourselves that called for more time and more commitment, and that was second degree. And in second degree, of course, there are three symbols, and these symbols give us a gateway, or open a gateway, to what I would call our unseen self. This doesn't mean that this isn't accessed in the first degree, but in the second degree, it's more conscious. And as master, we end up committing our life to Reiki. And what I mean by that is that in the ideal world, masters surrender their livelihood, they surrender themselves, in whatever degree possible, to becoming, to having Reiki imbue their whole life. And in their giving their lives to this practice, they give themselves a great gift, which is a huge challenge also. So one of the things that I see is that as masters, we become every day, 24/7, as we would call it, 24/7 students of Reiki, on a level that is challenging to our livelihood, to our survival, to our understanding of the way that our world works, and how we are placed in that world. So as masters, as a theme, stories from masters, I don't give you stories of somebody who's become an expert of Reiki, because that's really not possible for me, but I give you the stories of inspiration of people who have really met some of their most deep challenges and have gone through them and connected on the other side. Perhaps what I will do in the future also is to be able to have stories of students who have done the same thing. But one of the things that has been very interesting for me in the last years is connecting with a practice outside of Reiki called Family Constellation Work, which I think the most well-known person in this field is a German man by the name of Bert Hellinger, who came into my viewpoint from my German students many, many years ago, and people would say, oh, Phyllis, you really have to go to one of Bert Hellinger's therapy sessions. They're really amazing. And I would try to meet his schedule, but never quite got it together. And now, of course, his work is everywhere in the world, and he has traveled to many, many countries doing his work and allowing people to understand that we are human beings and we are one. That's the premise, I think, of his work. And that's what it seems to me in my experience of it. And what he does with that is allows and opens up a space for the group of people to be able to access each other's family. Excuse me. And by family, I mean blood family. And so we all have our own, what would I call them, challenges in our families. And he takes that challenge, that point of reference, and allows us to see the constellation or where we are in this placement of people, both in time and also within our living family today. And I feel that in experiencing the power of that, we understand that we are one, that someone can stand in for our sister or our brother or mother or father and access the same emotions, access the same understanding of life at that time, and access our own way of processing our family, and in doing that gives us a gift of this oneness. One of the also major themes of doing family constellation work is this experience of the ancestors. So in my experience of the work so far, that the most powerful thing for me, besides this understanding and feeling experience of oneness, is this feeling of having and realizing that my ancestors are behind me, that my mother and father and their parents and their parents and their parents and their parents back into time, once I accept them as being a part of who I am in the present, allows me to understand my placement in the time constellation. Well, I'll be back with more of this in just a few moments. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Reiki treatments can be done almost anywhere. On the floor, on a bed, or even on the dining room table. But I certainly prefer giving and receiving treatments on my comfortable, lightweight Astrolite massage table. Contact us for more information at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. So, in just talking about family constellation work, there are, I'm sure, places where you can find this work for yourself, and it's an amazing process, and I really encourage you, if you feel drawn to do this, to understand that this, the power of having your ancestors behind you, and I'm just moving into that. So even though I've had several experiences of family constellation work and this process of placing my ancestors behind me, it is a process because it's something that I feel like in my everyday world, growing up in the time that we did, that one of the things that has been a bit of a shame and also a bit disconnecting has been this disconnection, I would say, of our different lives. So instead of living in a tribal situation where we have all these understandings of ancestors and we live with our own familial ancestors, as in different generations, most of us have grown up in a very single family household with single family issues, and I feel that in disconnecting from the understanding that we are a progression, the family is a process. A family is not just an itemized group of people, that we have lost something. And so in light of that, I want to also give you a feeling of where you have come from in your Reiki family. And so we'll have stories of Hawaii Otakata, stories of Wanya Chuan and Mary McFadgen and Beth Gray and John Gray from himself and from others and so on, and be able to really put our ancestors behind us. The other thing that I also wanted to do and to mention here is that in this oral tradition, we share our stories, and these stories go out to you, the listeners, and then, you know, the vibration of those stories goes, you know, further and further, like ripples on the water. And in honoring these stories, I just would like to have a moment of gratitude for all the people who have been interviewed over the show and will, and those who will be interviewed over the show, and those who will turn to their, you know, their colleagues or their family and tell their own stories, because I feel that this is a sharing of something that's very individually private and sacred. It's a sharing of some of our deepest connective moments, and this is such an offering to all of us, because one of the things that I like saying about this practice of Reiki is that it brings us back to remembering, and I use remembering here with a big R, and that we remember who we are, we remember our own placement in time, space, we remember our ancientness, we remember our wisdom, and we remember that we are one. So in these moments of offering of memories and stories and connectiveness through our oral tradition and through people downloading the archives and playing these over and over and over to students and friends and sharing them with other people, that this oral tradition can be strengthened, and also the magic of the oral tradition can be strengthened and realized. So this is something that I want to appreciate, and also appreciate those who have added physically to this energetic by sharing themselves. One of the things that I would like to talk about now is another little aspect of storytelling and of mastery. And that is that, and an understanding that I just had, because I was facilitating a master candidate retreat in Arizona, where I'm living now, a few weeks ago, and I had this inspiration to do something that I've been wanting to do for years and years, and that is to show a movie or something that's a documentary, and to be able to access that as a jumping-off place for a discussion in the group. So I have Netflix, which is a wonderful online ordering service for DVDs, and in the United States, and I think they might actually be in other countries too. But anyway, I was going through this Netflix catalog online, and I realized that I couldn't think of, although I could think of a lot of movies that were inspirational for conversation, I couldn't connect with one for this particular group until I got to the documentary of Joseph Campbell being interviewed by Bill Moyers. And Joseph Campbell was, I guess, you would call him an anthropologist, but he was also a brilliant writer and investigated world mythology and gave us this great gift of his writings about mythology and its relevance in the world today and in our human nature. So we watched the first of three DVDs of this interview, and the titles were The Journey of the Hero and The Importance of Myth, and I can't remember the third one right at this moment, but The Journey of the Hero was so amazing to me because what I gleaned out of the interview was that a hero's journey is this, that a hero submits and surrenders to a cause that's greater than himself, and in that surrendering gives his all, and he goes through trials and tribulations, challenges, and death-defying processes, and becomes more than he was before. More understanding, more conscious, more aware of his humanness. And then, out of that place, comes back to his family, or his country, or his students, if you will, and communicates this journey to them, inspiring their journey, a hero's journey. And so what he said was that we are all heroes, because in this process of being born, we surrender as souls to this journey of being human. And we will take this journey back eventually after we die. And that this process of coming through the birth canal is the beginning of a challenging and, if you will, death-defying process we call life on here as human beings. And I really loved that image of all of us being heroes and heroines. But what struck me so intensely was this call to mastery and this understanding that as students of this practice, when we surrender to the practice and surrender to the service of the practice, that we are really surrendering to something that's greater than we are. We don't have any idea what it will bring us, although we all have expectations. We are challenged to our utmost, and sometimes, you know, we find we can meet these challenges, and sometimes we find we cannot without the help of other people. And it's that brings us back into our journey of a hero or heroine. And that in our teaching of first and second degree, we have the opportunity to bring our hero or heroine's journey back and communicate it and inspire other people to do the same in their lives, whether it's through Reiki mastership or whether it's through mastership of life itself, which is which, since we are born as human beings, for me, is our path. Our path is mastery. And whether we gain it through this practice called Reiki or Suishiki Ryoho, or we gain it through the artistry of music or creative arts, or we gain it through the artistry of parenthood or of creative understanding or whatever our theme is for our life, we all are heroes and heroines. And I wanted to just see these stories of the masters as stories of heroes and heroines that have come through this archetypical doorway into creating this bridge between our everyday life and this archetypical life. So, you know, I think that when I first heard the Greek mythology, or I heard of the creation myths of different Aboriginal tribal communities around the world, I used to think they were fantasy. But this is a great question to me these days. I'll be back in just a moment. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki treatments can be done almost anywhere, on the floor, on a bed, or even on the dining room table. But I certainly prefer giving and receiving treatments on my comfortable, lightweight Astrolite massage table. Contact us for more information at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. When I first was talking to Randall Libero, my producer, about this show and kind of searching for a title for the show, I came up with this one, Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. And I didn't know how much that would become a theme in my life. And to bring it to my consciousness, and one of the things that I've been so aware of as I've practiced Reiki on myself and practiced Reiki on other people, giving treatments, trying to live by the precepts, understanding that my daily decisions really speak to an experience of who I am in this moment. I realized that my whole life is about balancing the form of who I am or the form of what I do with the essence of who I am and the essence of being human. So this in-depth experience of interviewing people and interviewing myself sometimes and being able to explore this balance for myself has been really fascinating. And I hope that you too have been able to carry this off into out into your own life and see the places where we've become very adept at balancing ourselves. You know, people often say to me, you know, if I could just do more of this, or if I could just do less of this, and, you know, I don't know if really doing less of something is appropriate in the sense of trying to curb ourselves or censor ourselves. I think it's what would be more interesting is to say, well, how can I balance this in my life? So in the beginning of this year, I talked a lot about my New Year's resolution of giving myself Reiki when I wanted to eat more. And I have been perhaps not so successful in doing this. I try to do it sometimes, and I often forget in the flurry of just having excitement about wanting to eat more because it tastes so good. And what I'm now in the process of doing is balancing that with exercise and with understanding that there's a balance, that there's an imbalance in my life, and I want to come into balance. And so part of that is realizing that physically, if I eat, then I must exercise more. And in doing that, you know, becoming more aware of how much I will have to exercise if I eat more. So it's been a very interesting dance, and very amusing sometimes. So in the next interviews, one of the things that I find so beautiful is this wonderful quality of these stories, of the balance of form and essence within the story itself, to understand that Reiki guides us and shows us the possibility of balance. And it is then our partnership with Reiki that allows us to then step into that balancing act and to do it. So the inspiration of these people who were able to take these steps and to balance in that moment, or to take the next step into the unknown to find a balance in their lives, is awesome. And I just really appreciate all of the people who are going to share these stories with us. So we're moving from mystic order and talking, or trying to talk about mystic experiences in our lives which can come through a religious or a reconnective experience, or can come through our psychology as human beings, or can come through a kind of psychic awareness of who we are as human beings, or can come spontaneously out of the blue and without any explanation. And in some way, not having explanation, not having a category, is maybe even more appropriate. Maybe this is part of the balance of the essence of mystical experiences. Well, each one of us will take this journey into our mystic selves, into the self as essence, as being one, and see where that leads us. And in that, I offer the stories of masters that will allow us to see how other people have been inspired to do the same thing. Next week, we'll have Maggie Hall up. She's a Reiki master from Western Australia and is really a wonderful down-to-earth person. She's it'll be really fun for you all to listen to her Aussie idioms and see if you can back off them a little bit sometimes and get the gist of what she's saying and realize what some of the things that she has alluded to are. Sometimes I have wanted to ask her to define her idioms, but they are just precious in themselves. And I am excited about the next program, which will be John Gray and an interview with him, and so on, so that you are able to ebb and flow not only with my tour of Australia, but also the tour of these masters as they've lived their life in dedication to Reiki. One of the stories that I have from my own master, Hawaii Otakata, is this, that she would always say that Reiki is about putting your hands on. And Reiki was hands on, hands off. Reiki on, Reiki off. And I always used to think to myself, could it really be this simple? And it certainly is. But in that simplicity, what happens? It seems like we make things so complicated by our resistance and by our misunderstanding and by our belief systems and by our unwillingnesses and so on. And that, for me, is also a kind of balance. It's like our universe, I feel, is truly simple. And if we could accept just what is presented to us, then without our need for understanding, without our need for having it be our way, for our need to have it be comfortable, for our need to have it be without pain, that there is this magical moment where living is truly easy. Living is truly a celebration of our individuality as human beings, and a celebration of our oneness. And this practice of Reiki, for me, gives us this moment, these moments over and over again. So it's our way of celebrating our individuality and our way of celebrating our oneness. So if you have a desire to be on the show and to celebrate your own individuality by sharing some of your stories, I would be really happy to have you on the show. So if you would, please email me at usuireiki@mac.com, and we'll get together and schedule an interview for you sometime in the future. My travels have taken me all over the world, and this is a chance for our world community to speak to one another, to share our stories, to inspire each other, and to inspire our community's balance of form and essence. Until next week, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.